All right, we're here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I want to bring your attention to verses 7 and 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And we're continuing our series on biblical health, and this is the fourth part of a five-part series. And we talked about the introduction in the first sermon, and then we talked about godliness, which is definitely the most important part of being healthy, is living a holy life. But then we also talked about our diet, which the Bible talks about that a lot, and we talked about that last week. And this week's sermon is on exercise. And obviously, exercise is part of being physically fit and in good shape, and the Bible does talk about it. Now, let me say this, that the Bible does not talk about this as much as diet, or even as much as what we'll talk about next week, and I think there's a good reason why. But I would say it would be a mistake to say the Bible doesn't talk about it at all.
Right.
And we'll look at a lot of verses and see what the Bible does say, but I want you to notice verses 7 and 8 in 1 Timothy 4. And I think a misunderstanding of these verses is a reason why a lot of people think that the Bible doesn't talk about exercise at all. But it says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, "But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." And so, in verse number 8, it says, "Bodily exercise profiteth little." Okay? Now, I talked about this, I think, in the first week's sermon, but I want to just make it very clear what this is saying to understand this, because I've heard a lot of people say, well, see, bodily exercise does not profit you much, okay? They say it only profits you little or a little bit. That is true, that's what the Bible says, but I think they're misinterpreting what it means by that, okay? Because if you notice at the end of the word little, you'll see that colon there, okay? It's going to combine the next thought. And it says, "But godliness is profitable unto all things." Why is godliness profitable unto all things? Because it having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Basically, you get rewards in heaven if you live a holy life.
Right.
So there's the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Now, I talked about that there is a promise to living a godly life, of having good health in this life. It's going to help you out. Okay. When it says bodily exercise profits little, it's because it does not profit you in the life to come. It only profits you in this life.
Right.
That's the distinction being made. Okay? To say bodily exercise does not profit you much in this life would not be true. Okay?
Right.
And obviously, you know, we would understand that anyway. But that it's not saying, hey, it only profits you a little in this life. No, it's saying it profits you none in heaven, but it profits you here. As a result, it's very little because this life on earth means nothing compared to eternity. But we also are still living now, so it is important to be in shape, and bodily exercise is profitable in this life, so it is important to that. Okay, now turn to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. Now, here's the reason why the Bible doesn't talk about exercise that much. We'll see that it does talk about it. The reason why it doesn't talk about it that much is because, quite frankly, we have very different lifestyles than they had thousands of years ago.
Right.
We live a much different life. See, thousands of years ago, a sermon on exercise would probably be pointless.
Right.
Why? Because just going through your daily life, you're exercising.
Right.
I mean, it's a trial for everything. I mean, in the Bible, you see people going to a well to get water. Look, if every single day you have to carry gallons of water to your home, you're getting exercise.
You know,
you don't need to go to the gym. You don't need to do push-ups. You're getting exercise, okay? But our lives are very different now. Nowadays, people drive with their cars to go to places, and they're not getting much exercise from that time period. Now, a lot of people, their job is to sit behind a computer all day. Now, there's nothing wrong with that job. That's the job I used to work. I sat behind a computer all day. But if you sit behind a computer for 8 or 9 hours a day, you're not getting any exercise.
Right.
And see, the way it used to be was exercise was the way God made it as part of our daily lives. And since that is lacking in today's world, depending on what your job is and how much you naturally exercise, you might want to start exercising on the side. Now, in Genesis 3, we see this. Okay, Genesis 3, verse 17. "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." And so in verse number 17, as a result of eating the forbidden fruit, there's a punishment that comes upon the serpent, upon the woman, and upon the man. Okay? But in verse number 17, it's interesting how it says, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake." Because what it says is, you know, yes, this is a curse that comes upon you, but it's also for your sake. It's also for your benefit. So it's honestly not bad that the ground is cursed. You say, why? As a result of that, because they ate of the fruit, they're going to die one day. Their bodies are going to break down. But now the change that God has made is you're going to have to work very hard to provide your needs. And that is actually a good thing for you. It's good for you that you got to work hard to get food. You got to work hard to provide your needs. Why? Well, it's giving you natural exercise.
Right.
Because your body's going to break down, he says it's going to be difficult for you to provide what you need. And as a result of that, you're getting exercise, which will help you have a healthier life and help you live a longer life. Okay? Verse number 18. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb in the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And so it said in verse 19, in the sweat of thy face. Okay? Look, it's not bad for you if you have to sweat a lot each day at your job.
Right.
That's not a bad thing. That's actually the way God's designed it.
Okay? Right.
Now look, they didn't have computers back then. Now we have computers, and you don't sweat at all when you're in an office.
Right.
And so if you're not sweating at all, I had a job, you know, when I worked at an office, and they were trying to save money, so they never turned on the heat. Now, in Maryland, it's actually very cold. It's not warm. And so it would literally be about, I don't know, 12, 13 degrees Celsius. It was cold. That is when I started drinking coffee, because I'm cold all the time. And I'd bring like a sweatshirt into work, because it was always cold. But look, I wasn't sweating at all at that job. I'm literally just behind a desk all day. It was cold in the office, never sweating at all. And so if you're not getting any manual labor at your job, because God's designed it for you to sweat and to work hard, what you might want to do, what would be smart, I believe, is to incorporate that outside of your normal work schedule. Okay? Now, at the end of the sermon, I'll give you some practical applications of what you can do. But I want you to see, though, in verses 17 through 19, that just exercise was part of daily lives for people. They had to work hard. Look, in this room, if your job is a farmer, quite honestly, you don't really need to listen that much to the sermon. Because in your daily life, you're working hard.
Right.
So depending on what your job is, you might not have to really exercise on the side. Okay? If you work as a farmer, you're getting a workout all the time. You know, you're sweating, you're getting a workout, you're you know, moving stuff around. You're getting a good workout all the time. But depending on what you do with your life, just if you're very inactive as part of your job, there's nothing wrong with that job. You're obviously working hard mentally, but your body's meant to get some physical exertion,
right?
Hard work in your bodies. If you're not sweating, like the Bible says in Genesis 3:19, it's probably something you might want to do on the side a little bit. Okay? Now turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Now I want you to understand an important application of this. Before we even talk about exercising on the side or doing push-ups or anything like that, what you saw in Genesis 3 was basically that just to provide your needs, you're going to have to work hard. But here's the thing about this. You can choose to work harder or be kind of lazy in providing your needs.
Yeah.
And so the harder you work, the more of exercise you're going to get. Okay? See, honestly, the best part of the big thing about getting exercise is just work hard in your life at everything, no matter what it is. So basically at your job, if you don't get any exercise, when you go home, don't just sit around and do nothing all day. Don't just sit around and look at the computer all day. Okay? Just find something to do. And if you find something to do, you're going to get natural exercise just as a result of doing something. Okay? It is possible that if you live a life where you're very active, you won't have to do any exercise outside of that. But if you're sitting around all day and you come home and all you do is stare at a computer, then you know what? You should find a way to get some exercise on the side. Because that's not good on your body. You're meant to move around. You're not meant to just stare at something all day and do nothing. Okay? Now in Proverbs 31, verse 27, it says this. This talks about the virtuous woman in verse 27, and notice what it says. She looketh well, verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. And so the virtuous woman is not idle. Yeah. What does that mean? She's staying busy.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, obviously in Proverbs 31, we're seeing the ideal situation of a mom that's staying home. But let's think about that. If a mom stays home, she can choose to work hard and clean, and she's getting natural exercise, or she can sit around and watch the computer and watch soap operas. mean, those are kind of two extremes there, but honestly, she can choose not to work that hard of taking care of her household, and as a result of that, she's not getting any exercise.
Right.
And so whether you're a man or a woman, whatever your job is, whatever you're doing, work very hard at it, and you're getting natural exercise. Look, if you work hard as a stay-at-home mom, you will get exercise. I promise you. You say, why is that? I mean, have you looked at how heavy my son is? Think about having to pick up my son all day. Now, you can choose to just have him watch, you know, a cartoon all day. But if you're actually playing with them and picking them up and stuff like that, you're getting natural exercise. Look, my son's pretty heavy. It's hard for me to pick him up. Look, you're getting exercise just from your normal routine. Look, cleaning, you are getting some exercise. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to, you know, bench 300 pounds and have a six-pack and everything like that. But look, you're not necessarily designed where you need that either. You're designed to basically be functionally strong, and if you're doing your daily activities, you're going to be functionally strong. See, you know, people that have worked out at a lot at the gym, there's muscles for show and muscles for go.
Right.
There's a difference there. Okay. Now, I know the exercises that are muscles for show. You can do certain exercises to make yourself look really strong. Look, I had a friend of mine, actually the one who led me to the Lord. His younger brother competed in an arm wrestling competition. And his younger brother was very strong, super strong. And he was in the competition, and he lost to a farmer that had very few muscles. I say, why? Because farmers are very functionally strong.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that you're going to get these massive muscles. Maybe God didn't design it that way. But you are functionally strong. Okay? There's certain tasks that you want to be good at. Carrying furniture is something you might do sometimes. Carrying stuff around the house. There's a difference between having the big muscles and actually being functionally strong. Now, you can have both, but you know, you can also just look strong without being strong. And vice versa. And see, if you work hard at your daily lives, what's going to happen is you're going to probably be functionally strong and have real strength. Okay? That is why it's so important that whatever you're doing, whether you're a guy or a girl, you work very hard at it. Don't be lazy.
Right.
Now turn to Ecclesiastes 5. Ecclesiastes 5. And so look, people that are moms in this room, I mean, if you're spending a lot of time with your kids, there's definitely the opportunity to get a lot of exercise just in your natural daily lives. I'm not suggesting that you forsake your kids and just go to the gym for 2 hours a night. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is in your daily life, God designed it for you to get exercise. And if you work very hard, you can get that exercise. Okay? Now, notice what it says in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2. Verse 12, I should say. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer, and the sleeper will not allow him to sleep. Okay? The Bible says the abundance of the rich will not allow him to sleep, will not suffer him to sleep. Now, there's kind of a twofold meaning. One is the fact that if you have a lot of possessions, you constantly think about those things.
Right.
And you're basically paranoid of losing them. But also, if you're a very rich person and you have everything you want in life, quite honestly, you probably live a much easier life than the average person. And as a result of that, you're not getting the exercise that other people are, just their daily routines. Okay? If you have a lot of money, things are going to be very easy in life. You say, Brother Stucky, my life is so difficult, I have to work very hard. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Because it's going to give you natural exercise, it's going to help you live a longer life and be strong and have the ability to do things. Okay? If you're rich, look, you might not end up getting much exercise because life might be too easy for you. But I want you to notice this. The Bible said the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. You could be a laboring man that has much to eat because you are blessed with money. But you choose to be a laboring man, so your sleep is going to be sweet. Or you could be a laboring man that barely has the means to survive. You're working hard just to have your needs met. And the Bible says whether you don't have a lot to eat or whether or not you have a lot, you can sleep well. So basically, whether you're rich or poor, if you work hard, your sleep is going to be sweet. What does that mean? It means that when you work really hard for 8 or 9 hours in a day, and you come home and your head hits the pillow, you're out like that.
Right.
Isn't that the way it works?
Right.
When you're sitting around with nothing to do, you don't sleep well. You say, proof from the Bible. Why did David commit adultery? Because he couldn't sleep. Why couldn't he sleep? Because at the time kings go forth to battle, he didn't go.
Right.
Sitting around doing nothing. What happened? Couldn't sleep. He's out at night. Sees Bathsheba. He commits adultery. Why is it that he couldn't sleep? It's because he was being lazy. Now, David was not a lazy man, but he chose to be lazy in that time period. Okay? And so, he was someone who had a lot to eat. He had money. okay? But whether you have money or not, you can work very hard in your life and not just sit around and do nothing. And look, whether or not you have a lot of money in this room or you don't have much money, God wants you to be a hard worker. And if you're a hard worker, quite honestly, you're going to find a way to get exercise naturally because you just find something to do. There's always something to do. Right? And we talked about volunteering here earlier, and look, we love soul winning, and that's definitely work. That's definitely some exercise. But, you know, honestly, afterwards, you know, you can choose to just, you know, not do much and just kind of sit around. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing sinful. Or if you're one of these people that's always busy and finding something to do and just helping out with stuff, you're getting exercise naturally. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to bench 300 pounds, but you're getting the sort of functional exercise and strength that God wants you to have. Okay, now turn to Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes 9. Look, there's not much worse than not being able to sleep at night.
Right.
Quite honestly, on times I have trouble sleeping at night, it's usually because I've been staring at stuff. It's usually because I've been practicing chess for too long. You know? That's the reason why I can't sleep. It's usually because I haven't been working that hard. Okay? And so, you know, quite honestly, you know, God expects us to work very hard. And then when we go to sleep, you know what? You hit your pillow and you're out. Now, look, when you work at an office job, there might not be many opportunities to get exercise on your job. You know, I worked at an office and I was on Microsoft Excel all day. Every time where they had a project where you had to pick up something, I was like, hey, I'll volunteer for that. I'm perfectly fine with just going and grabbing this and going to the elevator. But, you know, you might not have that many opportunities to get exercise. And I would stare at a screen all day, and that's not even good on your body, to
right.
stare at a screen for that long. It is what it is. I had a computer job. A lot of us have computer jobs. But if that's the case for you, you don't want to just come home and just stare at the computer all day.
Right.
You're not designed to do that. Now, I understand you can mentally work hard at a job like that and work very hard with getting no physical exercise. But you know what? Honestly, you're going to want to find a way to incorporate some physical exercise, whether or not it's actually doing push-ups or going for a jog or whether or not it's just doing your normal routine of stuff to do and being busy. Okay? Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And so whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your strength, all of your power, all of your might. And so if you're cleaning, hey, work as hard as you can at it. Don't be lazy with it. Work hard at it. Oftentimes when I'm here during the week, I almost always just walk down the building. This morning I had a lot of stuff to bring, so I couldn't walk down. But I usually just walk down here and walk back. And look, I'm amazed at how slow people walk. I'm just like, I have to start here and I have to end here. Why am I trying to make that take as long as possible? You know, I try to do it as quick as possible. And whatever you're doing, you do it with thy might.
Right.
Whether you're going for a walk, whether you're cleaning, whatever, do it with thy might. Look, when you go out soul winning, if you see the Jehovah's Witnesses knocking doors, this is how a Jehovah's Witness knocks the doors. They knock a door, and then they're like, literally, that's how fast they are. They're incredibly slow. They don't even care about what they're doing. Look, when we're knocking doors, we don't want to just be really slow about it. Now, I understand we wait to see if they answer, we give them the gospel, but look, it's not something where it's like, oh, I have to be here for 2 hours knocking doors. I'll do it as slow as possible so I can knock as few doors as possible. They don't even want to be there.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Now, usually, I don't try to talk to false prophets. I just ignore them. But I remember one time, you know, in Sacramento, we get certain maps where we show up at a certain address and we have certain doors to knock. And so I had my area to knock doors. It was me and my partner, and then there was like four of us, you know. I can't remember if my wife was with you. I think me and my wife and then another couple we were with. And then the Jehovah's Witnesses were on our turf. So basically, they're knocking the doors before us. So the people aren't as receptive in the U.S. anyway. And they're not going to answer if they just got bugged by some other religious person. So it's basically just like, okay, great. These guys are in our territory. Do we go somewhere else? And I walked up to the Jehovah's Witnesses. There's a group of like six of them. And I said, I've got a question for you I've always wanted to ask. And he's like, okay. And I said, why do you walk so slowly from door to door? I was like, it's like you don't even, you know, care about doing it. It's like you don't even want to do it. And then, like, he was caught off guard. I don't think he expected that question. He's like, why should I walk fast? I was like, well, we walk fast because we actually care about those people. We want them to hear the gospel. We actually care about them. And I said, it's not just here. I was like, anywhere you go, every Jehovah's Witnesses is like this. Anywhere around the country, everywhere where you see Jehovah's Witnesses knocking the door, they're always so slow. That's what I told him. And he's like, well, that's your answer. Jehovah's Witnesses are everywhere. That's what I said. So I guess he wasn't expecting that question from me. But it's the truth. They're very slow from door to door. It's like they don't even care. There was one time I was in my house in Sacramento, and Jehovah's Witnesses, they left an invitation at our gate. And I started walking out, and I was looking at them, and they were like too shy to even come over and talk to me. And it's like, you honestly don't even want to talk to people. You're just doing this because you're forced to.
Right.
No, whatever you find to do, you do it with your might. Work hard at it. Whatever you're doing, whether or not it's a job at a computer, whether or not it's a manual labor job, take it seriously. And if you do take it seriously, you will get natural exercise by and large when you're living your life. But you can choose to be very slow about everything you do, or you can choose to work hard at it. Okay? And so turn in your Bible to Nahum chapter 1. Nahum 1. I saw a video recently, and I couldn't find it again, which I wish I could have to explain for this sermon, but there's basically this group of people that are, and I'm not suggesting we do this, but they basically are isolated from most people, but it's not the Amish, but it's similar. Basically, they're isolated from modern conveniences, and basically, they have to get water from a well and stuff like that. They have to work hard just to provide their daily needs. And they said that the group of people that have been living there for a long time, they never exercise. Like, they don't have a gym, they don't go jogging or anything like that. And the average age of them is over 90 years old. You say, why? Probably because every single day they're naturally getting exercise. That's probably part of it. Okay, our bodies are designed to be getting exercise as we go about our days. We see that in Genesis 3. We see that in the Bible. And look, if your life, though, is so easy that you're never moving around, that's not good for you. It's good that we're moving around, picking stuff up. When you're doing it, it might not be fun, but it is good for you. It's healthy on your body. Okay? You say, why is this important? Well, for one, as we talked about in the opening sermon, which I'm not going to go back to, but in Ecclesiastes 12, the Bible talks about the evil days coming upon you. And as I mentioned, you lose strength as you go on in life. If you're getting exercise, you're not going to be losing as much strength. Okay? You don't want those evil days to come upon you at a young age. Because if you're losing your ability to do things when you're in your 40s or 50s, you know what? It's only going to get worse from it. You're probably not going to be able to fix that. And you don't want to lose your ability to do your daily tasks that you need to do when you're in your 50s. And look, that happens to a lot of people. And I understand sometimes it can be because of an accident or genetics and things like that. I'm not saying there's no exceptions. But honestly, I've known people in my family, you know, people that are related, people that are older, that when they, you know, reached their 50s, it was hard to do anything. And they had to rely on other people to help them. And part of it was because they didn't really take care of their bodies. Okay? Now, in Nahum chapter 1, I want you to understand, in our lives, our purpose, we need to be fit for the battle. Okay? That is one reason to keep ourselves in shape, to get exercise. It says in Nahum 1, verse 15, behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows. For the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. The Bible talks about preaching the gospel upon the mountains. Okay? Every word's important. Notice what that says in Nahum chapter 1, verse 15. Upon the mountains. Okay? Now look, in our country, it's pretty flat. There's not a whole lot of mountains. But look, depending on where you live, there might be a lot of mountains.
Right.
And to preach the gospel on the mountains, to go from door to door, it takes real effort. It takes real work. Look, I grew up in West Virginia, the mountaineer state. That's what it's known as. You say, why is it known as the mountaineer state? It's all mountains. That's all it is. And in a lot of areas where you're knocking, it takes real effort to knock one door. You're literally walking up hills to knock one door, then you come down the hill, you go around, you go to the next house. You're doing a lot of walking. And you know, honestly, this verse, man, people in West Virginia get it. Nahum chapter 1, verse 15, because honestly, you know, you go. Sometimes people would visit me from out of town, and they'd come soul winning, and they had to rest after a couple doors because they just weren't used to that sort of physical activity. And now, obviously, this really applies in West Virginia because you got to really work hard just to knock the doors in some places. But, you know, we want to be fit for the battle of soul winning. And quite honestly, when I'm 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, I hope I'm still knocking the doors and have the energy to do that. I don't want to reach a point in my life where I basically have to go on the sidelines because I'm not in good enough shape to do it. I want to be a soul winner until the day I die.
Amen.
Okay? Now look, when it comes to being in shape to do that, that's going to include the other things we talked about in this series as well. It includes your diet. It includes everything. But look, you know, I want to be in good enough shape to be able to do that. Okay? And And in Nahum chapter 1, it talks about preaching the gospel upon the mountains. That's someone who has some sort of physical condition to do that. Okay? Mark 16. Now, look, I believe that, you know, almost any of us could keep ourselves in that sort of shape and have that ability as we get older. I remember my neighbor growing up. She lived to be 100 and something years old. I went to her 100th birthday party. And I remember when I first met her, you know, we had moved there from another house in Bridgeport. She was in her 90s, and every single day she was walking her dog up and down the hills in her 90s. You say, why did she live so long? Well, I mean, probably part of it was that she got a lot of exercise.
Right.
I mean, she's walking up hills in her 90s. I mean, it was encouraging to look at. It's like, wow, there's someone who, I mean, she was retired. She could have just sat there and watched TV all day. But she made it a point to always be out, and she was walking up and down hills. And look, if you, I'm going to have to bring in a picture sometime to show you the hill that I grew up on in Bridgeport. Because the incline was incredible. I mean, it was 15, 20% for large parts. And if you ever run on a treadmill before, I remember when I used to run on a treadmill, the maximum it went to was like a 12% incline. You wouldn't even go that high. And literally on the hill that I grew up in, man, there were parts where you were really fighting to get up that hill. It was not easy, okay? But you know, she was in her 90s, and she was walking her dog up and down the hill. Say, why? Well, because it's something she made as part of her normal routine. Now, she could have, when she retired, she could have just stayed home. You know, her husband had passed away and just sat there and done nothing. But if she had done that, I don't think she would have lived as long, and I don't think she would have had as good of a life. I don't think she would have had the ability to go about her daily normal routine. My grandmother, my parents have to stop her from climbing on a ladder to fix stuff at her house. It's like, no, you know, you don't need to be doing this, okay? You know, having that sort of attitude of staying active, that is what keeps you living a long life.
Right, right.
Because you're staying active, you're getting that natural exercise. Mark 16, verse 15, the Bible reads, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so being fit for the battle, we're expected to preach the gospel to every creature. Now, when it comes to preaching the gospel, this would be more about having endurance than it would be about having, you know, physical, I can lift a lot of weights, okay? But he says to preach the gospel to every creature. Now turn to Acts 8. I was going sowing in West Virginia one time, and we were sowing in this area, and we saw one house at the top of the hill. I didn't want to knock the house, but my friend is like, you know, the Bible says preach the gospel to every creature. He's like, we have to knock. He's like, if we don't knock that stucky, nobody's going to knock that house. It was literally a 15-minute walk up to that house. And we knock, and of course, nobody's home. But we always think about that song in the hymnal, you know, I want that mountain. So whenever we sing that song, I think about my friend. Anyway, I want that mountain. We're like walking up the steep mountain to knock one door. Look, there's areas, though, where honestly, you got to preach the gospel upon the mountains. You got to put in real effort. But even here in the Philippines, on Wednesday, me and Brother Dustin were sowing here on Wednesday, and we knocked up on an apartment complex. And so we're going up and down those steps to knock those doors. Okay? Now, there's not as much here, but you want to have the ability to do that. Okay? And so when you are moving around, the more physical ability you have, the more you've kept yourself in shape, the more you're going to be able to last longer doing it too.
Right.
Okay? Now, in Acts 8, verses 26 through 30, the Bible reads, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So Philip is told to go there and preach the gospel. Notice what it says. And Philip ran thither to him. Okay? It's significant. It says he ran thither to him. Now, we don't know how far away the chariot was. We don't know how fast he had to run, but we do know he had the ability to run when necessary. Look, quite honestly, if he didn't have that ability, that person wouldn't have gotten saved.
Right.
He actually had to see the opportunity, he had to run. And honestly, when we knock doors, especially in unreceptive areas, oftentimes the people we get saved are people walking by on the streets.
Right.
We need to be ready for that.
Okay.
And honestly, most of it's a mental thing, but part of it is a physical thing as well, that you actually have the ability to do that. Okay? And that's what we're seeing here with Philip. Now turn to Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16. But not just a spiritual battle, but in our daily lives, there's things that we need to do at our houses. And honestly, if you're not in shape to do it, it's going to make it difficult. You know, I think we've all seen people that when they get older, let's say they drop something on the ground, and they don't have the ability to pick it up. You know, they don't have the flexibility to do that. And that's sad to see when people have lost that ability. Obviously, we can have things happen to us where we're not able to do that, but as much as we can prevent that, because honestly, it's going to be pretty frustrating. And I'm not old, and I'm in my 30s, but as we get older, it's going to be frustrating if we can't do some of those basic things. It'll be frustrating to me if I don't have the ability to go outside with my son and play with him.
Right.
I want to be in shape to, and I love sports growing up, but even more so as my son grows up, I want to be able to share with him the memories of just shooting a basketball. Just father and son having a good time going out and doing something. I'd love to be able to do that with my grandkids one day. I'd love to have the ability. I know that when I grew up, my dad would go out to the park with me every Saturday, and we would, you know, throw a baseball, you know, we would kick a soccer ball, play basketball, whatever. And he had the ability. I want to have that same ability. Okay? Now, notice what it says in Leviticus 16. You might say, what type of exercise do you need? Well, what the Bible teaches is a balance of strength and endurance. Okay, strength and endurance. Because notice what it says in Leviticus 16, verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all the transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. What is a fit man? Well, someone who has some sort of strength to bring this goat. But also, he's taking him out. I mean, he's going to have some endurance as well. Okay? So what you're seeing in the Bible is being fit is a combination of strength and endurance. This makes sense to me. Why? When I was growing up, you know, when I was a freshman in high school, I ran 50 miles a week. Okay? I was in very good soccer shape. You know, I'd run for an hour a day. But based on what the Bible says here, I was not a fit man. You say, why? I wasn't that strong. I never lifted weights. You know, I hadn't really done push-ups either. You know, I started to do them in high school. I was very skinny, extremely skinny, very good shape for soccer. But I wouldn't be what the Bible would call a fit man, because a fit man is someone who has both strength and endurance. At the same time, like I talked about earlier, you can build muscles for show, and people that have muscles for show, honestly, they usually have very bad cardio. Okay? You can have a lot of strength, but basically be too exhausted to do anything. Okay? You know, if you're someone who doesn't have any cardio whatsoever, and you're not very active, and all you do is lift weights, but you're not very active, you're going to have very bad cardio, and you're going to get tired doing anything.
Right.
You might be able to have a great one rep max, but you're not going to really have the ability to do a whole lot, because you're going to get tired all the time. So what you see in the Bible is a balance between having strength and endurance. Now, as a guy, it makes sense that we need to have some strength. You say, why? We have to protect our families.
Right.
I mean, I hope you're stronger than your wife. We're designed to be stronger than our wives. Okay? I hope as a husband that you have, and honestly, if you're not, then you need to start doing some push-ups. You need to go outside the scope of the sermon. You need to start, you know, going to the gym, doing whatever you need to do. Okay? Because, you know, you're designed to have some sort of strength. Now, for wives, when they have kids, their daily routines, they're going to get the sort of strength they need to accomplish those. Okay, if they're staying active, not being lazy, picking up their children, you know, doing the cleaning, they're going to get the exercise they need if they're staying active. As guys, if your job is to sit at a computer all day, you're probably going to want to do something. Start doing 100 push-ups a night or something. Okay? It's not a lot, but you know what? Honestly, it will make you functionally stronger. It gives you the ability to do stuff. Look, if we have to move furniture where we live, I don't ask my wife to pick up the table and do it. I need to be able to do that. As the husband, you need to be able to do that. Okay? You need to have the strength to do that. Okay? Being a fit man in the Bible, it implies having strength and endurance. Now turn to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you have to get these massive muscles. I'm saying, though, that you should be active and stay in decent shape, and you should be getting some exercise. And if your normal routine is you work and you just kind of sit there and you come home and you just watch the computer, you should make some lifestyle changes, or you will probably regret it when you're in your 50s. You'll regret it as you start to wear down as time goes on. Exodus 34, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mountain. Now, I want you to understand that climbing a mountain is not an easy thing to do.
Right.
Moses is not a young man. He was 80 years old when he started his ministry. We don't know the exact age, but he's older than 80 years old. Okay? It's not easy to climb a mountain when you're in your 30s, much less when you're 80 years old. Moses had the ability to do that, though. Now, if you think about the life of Moses, was he someone who sat around all the time, or did they move a lot? They moved a lot,
right,
didn't they? So he's getting natural exercise. I'm not saying that he's going to the gym. He's getting natural exercise, but your life might not be like that. You might not be departing to some other land and just leading the children into out of Egypt. You know, he's getting natural exercise, but look, he has the ability to climb a mountain when he's an older person. Verse number 4, and he hewed 2 tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up onto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the 2 tables of stone. So wait a minute, he's not just climbing the mountain, but he's also bringing tables of stone with him. Look, carrying heavy stuff is not easy. I think it's called fireman's carry. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, where you carry the heavy dumbbells. You're walking around. I think it's called fireman's carry. And look, it gets tiring, because carrying something in your arms, even if it's not heavy, gets tiring.
Right.
You go to the grocery store and you carry groceries that are not that heavy, but if you're walking a long distance to get home, doesn't it get tiring?
Right.
And he's climbing up a mountain. When you get your groceries, you probably don't climb up a mountain to get home. He's climbing a mountain with the tables in his arms. Look, Moses was in physical condition. That's what we see. He was in good physical condition. Okay? It makes sense to me, because if you're working hard, which I'm sure Moses was a hard worker, he's getting natural exercise throughout the day. I'm sure he was willing to help out with whatever, and he's getting that natural exercise that he needs. Now turn to Proverbs 31. You say, well, that's just Moses. Well, why does the Bible always talk about Jesus going into a mountain apart? Jesus would constantly go into a mountain away from everybody to pray and get close to God. He would go into a mountain apart. Look, he didn't have a car. He had to walk it. Okay? He had the ability to do it, though. Okay? And so in the Bible, what you're going to see is whether it's Moses, whether it's Jesus, or even the people that listened to John the Baptist and Jesus preach, it wasn't easy for them to make it there. They put in real effort, and a lot of times they're walking long distances to hear the Word of God preached. They obviously had the ability to do that, though, because their lives, they were not just sitting around all the time. And in our lives, we don't want to just always be sitting around. In the long run, it's going to be good for us if our lives are not that easy. And if your life, if you've been blessed financially and things are good, so your life is that easy, what you should probably do is try to make it not that easy. Be happy that God's blessed you with money, but don't allow yourself to just have such an easy life and always want to do everything just so simply and easily. Why? It's going to be bad for you long term. Okay? Now, in Proverbs 31, verse 16 and 17, it says in verse 16, she considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planted the vineyard. Look, the virtuous woman is planting a vineyard. That takes physical exercise. That takes work. Okay, verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. And so the virtuous woman, she's strengthening her arms. She wasn't just sitting there all the time. She's actually staying active. She's getting natural exercise. Okay, now turn to Psalms 90. Psalms 90. Look, you know, it's not a burden to have to pick up your baby throughout the day if your baby's crying. It's actually good for you. Why? It's giving you natural exercise. You're girding your arms with strength. You're getting natural exercise. Now look, obviously for women, I personally don't go to the gym anymore. I used to go a lot, but it's not, depending on what gym you're at, the atmosphere might not be good. It kind of depends on what gym you're at. But look, I'm not suggesting women just go to the gym and just, you know, they're getting super strong, they're lifting weights. You know, I don't think that's really what God has for you. But what I'm saying is this, that, you know, you can stay active in your personal life, and you're going to get the exercise that God wants you to get. Okay? You don't necessarily have to have big muscles. You know, if you're staying active, you're going to get that strength. But notice what it says in Psalms 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years. 70 years is 70 years. Score is 20, so 3 times 20, 60 plus 10 is 70 years. The average person lives about 70 years long. Okay? And if by reason of strength they be fourscore years, Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it soon cut off and we fly away. Reason of strength, you reach 4 times 20 or 80 years. Okay? The more you take care of your body, according to Psalms 90, verse 10, by reason of strength, you might live a longer life. And so you say, is it a good thing to have some strength? Yeah, I think it is. I think that's the way we're designed. The Bible talks about the virtuous woman girding her arms with strength, just doing her daily tasks. That strength is going to help her live a longer life. And the evil days will not come upon you quite as soon. Okay? Now, turn to Joshua 14. Joshua 14. So in the Bible, you know, you're not seeing people going to the gym. You're not seeing people necessarily competing in competitions all the time and stuff like that. But what you see, though, is that people live difficult lives oftentimes. Okay? And by living difficult lives where you had to work hard, you know, you're burning a lot of calories. And if you're burning a lot of calories, you're getting a lot of exercise when you're doing that. Okay? As much as is possible, we should want to try to get exercise. An example, you say, well, how is this possible if you live a busy life? Let me just give you an example. I live on the 5th floor of a tall condo, okay? Now, I basically never take the elevator. You say, why? For one, it takes me less time using the stairs. If it takes me less time, I don't want... Now, if I lived on the 30th floor, I'd just take the elevator, okay? Because that would be pretty exhausting. Climbing upstairs is tiring. If you've ever done that, I don't know about you, but sometimes I would jog on stairs in the past. Like, I remember there'd be a place in West Virginia, you'd have like 400 straight steps or something like that. You get a good workout if you're running up and down steps. Man, that is tiring, okay? But on the 5th floor, honestly, there's no need for me to take the elevator. You say, why? Because by the time I wait for the elevator to come, it usually takes me more time to get to the 5th floor anyway. So for me, why would I logically do that? For one, going up and down the stairs is better for my health anyway, and it takes less time. And so for me, you know, honestly, throughout the day, just in my normal day, I'm going up and down the stairs, you know, several times a day. You know, why would I spend extra time? And so in our daily lives, you know, there might be ways that you can incorporate a little bit more exercise if you think about it, you know. Yes, it would be easier to just get on the elevator, but, you know, the point of our lives is not necessarily to be incredibly easy. You know, we're meant to work hard by the sweat of thy face, the Bible said. And yeah, climbing up and down those steps. Look, you know, yeah, I'm able to have fans in my room, but they don't have that on the steps by the fire escape. So yeah, you know what, you get a little bit of sweat going when you do. But you know what? That's not bad for you. And it's good for you to get exercise. To me, you know, it makes sense to just take the steps. And so I believe that there are ways, you might be surprised, where you can incorporate exercise into your daily life, and it will be good for you. Okay? Now let me give you some examples in the Bible of people that are very godly people, and quite honestly, they're in pretty good shape. One example is Caleb in Joshua 14, verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. Okay? As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Caleb says, you know what? I'm as strong as I was in the days of Moses. Okay? 85 is not young. But he says, I'm just as strong as I was. Now notice how he says, for war. Look, when you're fighting a war back then, you didn't have a gun. You had a sword. Swords are not light.
Right.
It takes effort. If you were carrying a sword and fighting a battle all day, your arms would be very tired afterwards. Okay? And look, Caleb says, for war. He has the ability to wield a sword all day. That takes some energy. That takes some effort. Okay, that's someone who's actually taking care of his body. That's someone who has both strength and endurance. Okay? As men, especially in the Bible, I think you're going to see that we should have some strength in us. Okay? It is something that's good for us. It's something that's healthy for us. And if you are basically taking care of your body in that way, it's going to help you live a longer life and have a better quality of life. Okay? Now turn to Genesis 29. Genesis 29. Now look, I don't exercise every single day. I exercise some. I personally enjoy exercise. Like, I like doing, you know, workouts, you know, push-ups, star-jumps, things like that. I like it. I always have, you know, I was always into sports and stuff like that. That might be you, it might not, but, you know, even if I wasn't exercising, though, just, you know, from setting aside time to work out, You can still get some exercise in your daily life if you work hard. Okay? And it's something that's good for you. So I'm not saying you have to take this sermon and say, man, okay, I'm going to the gym for 2 hours a day. I'm not saying that. You know, I don't go to the gym at all. Okay? But I am saying that, you know what, if you work hard in your lives, you're going to find a way to get some exercise. It's going to be good for you. Now, Jacob is an example of someone who's in very good shape, and you're going to see why. Genesis 29, verse 7, and he said, lo, it is yet high day. Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them. And they said, we cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the wall's mouth, then we water the sheep. What do they say in verse 8? They say, we can't do this until they roll the stone. They is multiple people. What are they saying? We're not going to be able to roll away the stone unless we have a lot of people here to help out. Right? They is plural. It's multiple people. They said, we don't have the ability to do that. Verse 9, and while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And so all of a sudden you see Rachel come. Now, I want you to understand something. I personally believe that he's interested in Rachel from day one. So I think that gives him kind of extra motivation to roll the stone away. Like he sees Rachel coming and he's like, okay, I'll do it. But notice what it says in verse 10. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the wall's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. So basically they say, well, we got to wait until everybody's here to roll away the stone. And Jacob, once he sees Rachel come, and says, you know what, I'll do it. And he rolls away the stone. Now, perhaps he's got extra motivation and extra energy because he's interested in her. But he doesn't have to wait for lots of people to roll away that stone. He just does it himself. You say, why? Because, honestly, he stayed active. Now, I don't think Jacob ever went to the gym. I don't think he ever did bench press. I think he was just a laboring man, and in his natural daily life, you get exercise from doing that. You say, why do you think that? Well, notice what it says in verse 14. And Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh, and he abode with him the space of a month. And so Jacob stayed with Laban for a month, and then what happens? Verse 15, and Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? What is he saying? This past month you've been serving me for naught, serving me for nothing. I'm paying you nothing, but you're still serving me. What is that saying? It's saying that Jacob was working from day one when he got there.
Right.
He isn't taking a vacation here. He's just working. He's there with Laban, and he's working without getting paid. Why did he get so strong that he could roll away that stone? Because he's a very active person. That's the reason why. Okay? It's not that he went to the gym a lot. It's not that he was drinking protein shakes. I mean, he wasn't on anabolic steroids. Okay? But he was just a hard worker.
Right.
And quite honestly, that's honestly the biggest part to take away from the sermon is that if you work hard in your life, you're going to get some exercise just from being a hard worker.
Right.
Okay? Now, I want you to understand something because I personally am very interested in diet, exercise, stuff like that. And this is something I've read books, studied, and things like that. I used to go to the gym all the time. But I want you to understand something. I've been to the gym before. And you can look at certain people. And in the back of your mind when you're going to the gym, you're kind of wondering, how much does this guy bench press? How strong is he? That's kind of what you think with everyone.
Right.
But honestly, oftentimes it surprises you. I have seen people with basically no muscle whatsoever. And they're doing all kinds of pull-ups and stuff like that. And they are very strong. They don't look very strong. And you say, why is that? Well, probably because they're very functionally strong. A large part of it is probably because they live very active lives. So I'm not saying that God designs you to just look like the Incredible Hulk. Okay? I think, though, that if you're staying active, even if you don't have these massive muscles, you're going to be strong just from the way you live your life. Okay? And honestly, if you go to the gym, how strong people are often really shocks you. You don't necessarily know. Now, usually if somebody has big muscles, they're pretty strong. But, you know, you see people that do not look that strong. And you're like, man, how is he keep benching, like, 260 pounds? It's like, that guy's, like, really small. He doesn't look like he has much muscle or anything like that. But quite honestly, a lot of it is, you know, they're probably just living very active lives. They're staying busy, okay? Now, what are some practical applications? Because you might say, Brother Stuckey, you know, I would like to exercise more. But maybe with my schedule, I can't really see how I can do that during my day. What's a practical way that I can actually do this? Well, let me give you a few tips on things that you can do. Now, I've preached on prayer before, and I think it's good for everybody to have a prayer list so you're actively going through stuff on a set day. One thing you can do is go for a walk while you go through your prayer list. You can spend 15 minutes, and if you say, well, I can't go outside, there's nowhere to walk, you can walk up and down where you live. Now, I'm not saying that's all the exercise in the world, but, you know, it's a little bit.
Right.
And if you slowly add a little bit each day to your life, just in the way you live your life, it's going to give you a lot in the long run.
Right.
A little bit goes a long way. So you could spend those 15 minutes. And look, if you get plenty of exercise in, by all means, you know, you can pray down on your knees and everything like that. You can pray all you want, but what I'm saying is, you know, if you're walking around, you're going to get some exercise just from walking. And you can go with your prayer list. And I often do that. Okay? Or if you memorize the Bible. You know, we're memorizing through 3 John now. And I'll be honest with you that I've been able to memorize a lot of chapters and books of the Bible, and every single one I memorized was while I was walking or riding a bicycle at the gym. Every single one. A few reasons why is, one, it's been proven that while you're doing exercise, you actually are mentally working better as well. Like, that you go hand in hand. And so for me, when I memorize the Bible, I want to get away from distractions. And so I will just go walking and just memorize the Bible as I'm walking. You say, how do you do that? You print it off on a piece of paper with big print, and you just memorize a phrase in your head over and over again as you're walking up and down the hill. I would show up for church like an hour and a half early. I'd go to a really steep hill nearby our church in West Virginia, and I would just walk up and down that hill, just memorizing the Bible. And you get a good workout when you walk for an hour up and down the hill. Okay? And so you're basically doing two things. You're memorizing the Bible, which is good, but you're also getting some exercise as well. Now, that doesn't give you big muscles walking up and down a hill, but it's giving you the sort of strength, physical strength, that's good for you. Okay? Another thing you could do, if you listen to a lot of sermons online, quite honestly, that's a good time to do push-ups. That's a good time to do something besides just sitting there and watching. What I do is, I will have a piece of paper and a pen, and whenever I'm doing push-ups or doing working out, it's usually while I'm either, you know, listening to a sermon or something else, an educational documentary, I'm multitasking. And so what I'm doing is, if I'm listening to the sermon, if there's any highlight from the sermon, I'll write it down on a piece of paper. So I'm not just sitting there doing nothing all day, and I'm not even staring at the screen. I'm just hearing the sermon. And so basically, I'm able to do push-ups and get a workout while I'm also hearing a sermon. Okay? We live busy lives. I'm not suggesting you forsake other areas of your life that are important to you or are necessary. But what I'm saying is, I think you could find ways to incorporate exercise. Because if you're able to sit and listen to a sermon for an hour, you're also able to do push-ups while you're listening to that sermon as well. You know, and this sermon is nothing about, I'm not giving you tips on what sorts of exercises to do. I mean, that's something you can study in your free time. I have opinions on it. I mean, you're welcome to ask me. Other people that worked out probably know that as well. But what I'm saying is, you're able to do something besides just sitting there watching the sermon. You could multitask, and it would be better for you. And honestly, watching something for an hour, a screen, is not really good on your body.
Right.
You'd be better off doing something where you're not just messing up your eyes by staring at that. Okay? And so another thing you could do, the last thing I'll mention, is when it comes to spending time with your wife or spending time with your kids, you can do something kind of active. You can go out for a walk.
Right.
You can do something where you're actually getting some exercise or doing something as a family. I personally, I like to go outside and go for walks. And when we lived in California, we'd go to the park, you know, with Zeph, you know, when he's young and grown up and stuff like that. You can find something active to do, okay? So, you know, you can, and you say, well, you know, I have other stuff that I want to do. Well, I'm just trying to tell you that it would be smart to try to incorporate some exercise in your normal life. And a lot of it is just being a hard worker and you're finding something to do with all your might. But if you're not getting any exercise, that is something that God designed for you. Because the virtuous woman is girding her arms with strength, and she's getting exercise, she's doing her daily routine. And in Genesis 3, it talks about the sweat of thy face. And so in our daily lives, it is not meant to be so incredibly easy that you sit there and do nothing. Okay? Being active is going to help out the quality and the quantity of your life, and something that would be smart for us to do. Let's close with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today. And I ask you to just help us apply this sermon to our lives, God. Help us to all take care of our bodies, and so we can have good lives, God. High quality.